May I speak in the name of the living and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Good morning. What a joy to be here again. And thank you, Father John David, for inviting me again. It's surprising to be with you this wonderful morning at Lent with this incredible story, which reveals the heart of the message of Christ. Who is this Nicodemus? And what did he do? What he did was extremely unusual for a Pharisee. You know, Jesus in his entire life never clashed with anyone except with the Pharisees. In a way, he was the peaceful, mild and meek and humble and miracle maker, the gentle soul, up to a degree. When it came to the confrontation with the Pharisees, Jesus became a storm. He only clashed with the Pharisees and the what so-called religious leaders, like me. And here, we see a religious leader, a Pharisee, one of those who walked in the markets of Jerusalem like peacocks, with their full paraphernalia, pontificating and teaching the people how to observe the divine law, and therefore how to enter heaven. So they felt they had in their hands the souls of the people, and they could tell the people what to do and what not to do in order to go to heaven. Imagine the power. Imagine the feeling that everybody looks up to you, up to one instruction to put myself right, that you would tell me what to do and what not to do. Everything was around the interpretation of the law. And this is the power that the Pharisees had over the lives and the existence of the people. And suddenly, here came a phenomenon. Here came someone who did not care about all this. Not only didn't care, he challenged all this. He confronted the Pharisees. He was challenging. He was critical about all this power. Do you remember when they brought the woman committed adultery? Came also like peacocks, trapping Jesus. And then they went like puppy dogs, broken. So Nicodemus belonged to a council which was extremely powerful in Palestine or Israel or the city of Jerusalem. That council was called the Sanhedrin, which was a group of Pharisees and scribes and leaders that put the policy of how to interpret the law for the people and how to run the temple. And we remember how Jesus revolted against the way they were using the temple. This man, Nicodemus, like other rabbis and religious leaders. They heard about Jesus. They heard a lot about Jesus. They thought he was one of those prophets that they would appear and disappear very quickly. Many, many came before Jesus, and they ended crashing and disappearing into the jungle of history. But this man seems to be different. He didn't disappear. He didn't collapse suddenly. He gained the love of the people, the respect of the people. But also, he made a lot of enemies in this council, this powerful council. So Nicodemus thought, I'd rather go myself and see who that was. And who is this Jesus that came such a phenomenon and putting things upside down? What is all about? I want to know the heart of his message, the essence of what he wants. So, instead of coming to him in the daytime, he creeped in the night. Why did he go to see him in the night? First of all, he was afraid of the other rabbis, the other Sanhedrin members, because they were observing each other, as priests do. Oops. Yeah, okay. Forget about that. And so, the second reason why in the night, he didn't want to give Jesus legitimacy or recognition. Me, Nicodemus, rabbi, member of the Sanhedrin, leader of the people, teacher of Israel, would go to that man and give him legitimacy and recognition? No. So he went under, as we say in Arabic, the wing of the night, the wing of darkness, to meet Jesus. Jesus received him. Not only received him, he gave him the desire of his heart. And he gave him the essence of what Jesus was about. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just dismiss him? First of all, Jesus respected Nicodemus's courage, that he came to him to investigate. Jesus loved the courage of the people when they asked, when they investigated, when they wanted to know, when they wanted to understand. And so, being polite, Nicodemus came to offer Jesus a recognition in the night, just between us. We know you came from God. This is not only me, we in the Sanhedrin, in the council, we all know who you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done what you are doing. So, I recognize you. So, what did Jesus say? Cut the crap. He didn't even comment on this recognition of Nicodemus. And he said, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. What is this? This is the beginning of the storm Jesus stirred in front of Nicodemus. What he is saying actually to Nicodemus, look Nicodemus, if you think by being a Jew you are saved or you enter heaven just by the mere fact that you belong to what's so called the chosen people, you are mistaken. The storm started after the generous recognition of Nicodemus and said, listen, it's not who you are. It's not what your tribe is. It's not. Let's see into what Jesus was saying. It's not the color of your skin. It is not your gender. It is not what you belong, which group you belong to. It's not where you are born. It's not your sexuality. It is not your degree of education. It's not your leadership. All this, I don't care about it. What I care about, you have to be born from above.
Whoa.
Nicodemus didn't take that very well at all. And he played that, what do you mean? Do I have to go back to my mother's womb? Jesus thought it will be hard dialogue. But I tell you, this is one of the most significant dialogues ever recorded in human history. Ever. Jesus challenged, shook the world of Nicodemus and said, yes, you have to be born from above. It means you have to be born from water and spirit. What is this water and spirit? Nicodemus didn't understand a word. Water, first of all, we were all born from water. The womb would be full of water. So we are born of water. And water is the baptism. Also, we are born with the water. And the spirit. The wind blows as it wills. This is not a language that, first, Nicodemus was used to, and second, would like. He likes to be in control. What do you mean the wind blows as it wills? It means, Nicodemus, it is not you, my friend. It is the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, 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 no. I am the leader of Israel. I tell the people what to do. Well, in your world, my friend, here, your world is a cardboard world and collapsed like this. Nicodemus is finding the whole encounter very unpleasant and very difficult. And finally, Jesus blows the whole world of Nicodemus away when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What? Nicodemus would think, what on earth is that? What are you talking about? Let me tell you what I'm talking about, my friend Nicodemus. The foundation of the world, the foundation of the heart, the foundation of existence, the foundation of the creation, the foundation of our humanity is not the law, my friend. It is not what to do, what not to do. It is the unconditional love that God gives, not us. This was the last straw. Everything crumbled in the world of Nicodemus. The heart of Nicodemus' existence was taken out, ripped up. And put a new heart, a new paradigm, a new essence. Jesus brought to his world a new, fresh look to humanity and to God. Jesus, my friend, turned himself into a mirror to reflect the true image of God to Nicodemus. Today, this dialogue tells us it is not who we are. It is not what we have. It's not our bank account. It's not our color of skin. It's not where we belong, where we were born. It is not the church as the institution. It is still today, the unconditional love that God shows us and we reflect to the world. Because of that, Christianity, my friends, is not a religion. Christianity is not a book. Christianity is not an idea. Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is not a thing. Christianity is somebody. And this somebody is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who revealed to us the unconditional love. And that unconditional love should be the pumping heart of the church, not the institution, not the hierarchy, not the liturgy, not the buildings. It is the unconditional love that the world needs today. I just came back from Syria and Iraq. And I felt we failed. I look east and west. And I feel we failed Jesus big time by treating Christianity as a religion. The world today needs Christ the revolutionary power who crumbled the world of Nicodemus and replaced it with the kingdom of God, with the culture of God, the culture of love, the culture of the Trinity. This is what the world needs. We do not need more blood and more wars in the world and more refugees and more hate and more division. We need unity as a humanity. We need to see that foundation that Jesus laid here back to our world, back to our churches, back to our lives as witnesses to that love. Amen.